We welcome you to worship this morning. We're excited to be in the house of God today. We would like to make a few announcements as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take these pew pads, write your name down, give us your contact information, and check the correct boxes. That will help us get to know you a little bit better or to find out new contact information, just to find out who is in worship today. We do ask, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. Once it gets to the end of the pew, send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. Several things that are listed in your bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Highlight a couple of them. Reminder to our children, we are having children's time right after the first hymn. And so we want you to come down and join me for just a few moments. We are having both of our day camps this week. Children's day camp is from Monday through Friday, 9 until 3. We are full. We can't take another kid. I wish, unless you pay double, we cannot take any more, and then I might consider it. We have almost 30 kids that are signed up for day camp this week. So please be praying for the leadership, and it's going to be a fabulous week from 9 until 3, Monday through Friday. It's going to be a big, big time. And then preschool day camp. It is Tuesday from 9 until 12. That is our weekly preschool day camp, and that will continue through next week. And it looks like Big Raj has an announcement.
Yep. Just give you a report on our house in Winterville. We are waiting on the final coat of mud on the sheetrock this week. We've got all the baseboards in, all the doors done. Getting ready to do the floor laminate, and then we'll start painting.
Very good. That's exciting to hear. Thank you, Big Raj. It's nice to know that God always has a plan. Even when we can't put it together, His plan is always better than we could ever imagine. A reminder also about our Wednesday night series this week. We're continuing our summer series, Bible study series, at 6:30, and then followed by, at 7 o'clock, a pound cake thing. Lots of people bringing lots of pound cakes, so you need to be here. If you make pound cakes, bring it. If you eat pound cakes, come. If you do neither, come anyway. It's just going to be a great night together as a church. We'll have programming for preschoolers and children, and then the youth and adults will be in the Bible study series. Let's see. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Including the College Parkers will be leaving for their trip this Thursday at 1:30. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We appreciate the information you gave us on the pew pad. We would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, we just invite you just to raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will come back down the aisles now, and they will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. And inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a little bit of the history or the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. Thank you especially for your presence this day. As you may or may not know, the youth just returned from youth camp, had an amazing week, down at Garden City. And we've talked about the process of, what does it look like to be a disciple? And we took a look at Peter and Andrew, James and John, and the mistakes that they made, how they became a disciple, how they followed Jesus. And it's always difficult on the last night of camp to remind them that, it's easy to be a follower of Jesus here at camp when all the 100 people around you are followers of Jesus, and there's lots of distractions and lots of things that we come back home and we kind of fall back in our normal routines, and the world is still the world, and we didn't even get to lunch with 30 minutes, and we hear the the news from Colorado. And I don't know where you were when you heard the news of the shooting. That's the first time we had heard it. It's just overwhelming to think, you know, there is evil in this world, but I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that is what disciples, followers of Jesus, hold on to. That's why we come to worship, to show Him our devotion to Him and Him alone. So whether we're facing tragedies like unspeakable evil, or whether we're facing highs that we know we are together with God step for step, be strengthened this morning that He reigns, He is alive, He is well, and He is deserving of our worship. Let us prepare to worship Him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You that You are worthy of worship, that we know that even on the darkest of our days, that Your light still shines, that the Holy Spirit still reigns in our lives and walks with us even through tragedy. Help us this day to be strengthened by Your Holy Spirit, to be taught by Your word, to be reminded of the example of Christ, how to live for You, to follow You step by step by step. For You gave Your life for us. And so we give our lives to You. Hear us as we worship. Be in this place. For You are worthy. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
kids come on down and eat crisscross applesauce. Crisscross applesauce. Everybody looking at me this way. Don't hit each other. Don't touch each other. Hands to ourselves. I'm going to show you something this morning that I rarely have in my possession, okay? Rare. I mean, this is very rare that I ever see this, okay? I'm going to show it. Are you ready? I mean, this is, I hardly ever have one of these. Are you ready? Ooh. What? Does anybody know what this is? It's a $100 bill. That's right. Okay. So, here, Jared, you listening? Are you listening? There you go. Good job. Michaela, I need you sitting still, sweetheart. Thank you. Now, this is not my personal one. I just wanted to let everybody know this does not belong to me. This actually, just because I'm coming home from youth camp and we have extra funds left over, that I have this $100 bill. But how many, if I gave this to you, how many would like this?
Me.
Okay. Would everybody want? Anybody? Any takers? Okay. All right. What about if I fold it like that? Do you still want it? I heard it from the choir. Okay. All right. What about if I folded it like that? Okay. What if I folded it like that? Still? What if I folded it like that? You still want it? What if I did that to it? Why? Why? Why would you still want this? It's the same thing, but it's crumpled up. Same thing? Still want it? You still want it?
Yeah!
Okay, but here he goes. Nobody gets it. Ha, ha, ha. All right. I want everybody looking right here. Are you looking right here? Are you listening? Are you listening? Jared, are you listening? I'm listening? Listening? Here's the thing. You are even more valuable than that $100 bill. No matter when you make mistakes, no matter if you feel bad, no matter what's going on in your life, in my life, even if we feel like we're crumpled up and nobody loves us, you and I are more valuable to God than that crumpled up $100 bill. And he wants to know you and love you. You are more valuable than all the money in the world. God wants to hang out with you, even when we don't feel like it. And this morning, Pastor Raymond is going to talk about how valuable and how much God has a plan for our lives and a purpose for us. And all we have to do is to trust Him and to learn about Him and to follow Him. That's exactly what we're talking about. Will you pray with me? Here we go. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. We thank you that we are more valuable than we could ever imagine, that you love us more than we can ever imagine. Even when we mess up, even when we make mistakes, you still love us and you have a purpose for us. Help us to trust that and to live that way every day. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now.
One of them was going to crawl in his pocket and take that dollar. I heard that. I'm going to crawl in, we'll jump in his pocket and take it. God does walk with us. He laughs with us. He knows when we hurt. He knows when we rejoice. He knows when we're excited. And the assurance that he walks with us each day is something that I treasure. There is a psalm that most of us could recite quite easily that reminds us of God's ever presence with us. It is the 23rd Psalm. It's part of our lectionary reading, and it's a beautiful reminder, again, of how much God cares for us, the tender care that he gives to us. I invite you, if you'd like to read along with me. There's a note there of what the number is in the Pew Bible, page number. Perhaps you have your Bible with you. It may be the same translation. If not, the word's still ring true. But if you'd like, if you'd rather not read along, if you just want to close your eyes and picture yourself as a part of this psalm, whatever that looks like. Because it reads like this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Father, we come to you as your children with a lot of distractions, a lot of things that could keep us from fully opening ourselves to you here in this place today. God, we ask that you would help us to set aside all of those things which would keep us from worshiping you. Set aside things that we're angry about. Set aside the things we're upset, hurt over. And allow us just to rest in you. Allow us to pour our hurts and our needs, all of those things, allow us to pour those out to you, to place them at your feet and leave them there. Father, we ask for you that you would forgive us when we fail you, and that you would continue to encourage us as we seek to be more like you. God, we thank you for our young people, that they were able to have a great week with our leaders, adult leaders, and that you brought them safely back to us. Forgive us when we take anything for granted and make assumptions, because we know that your hand was with them and gave them protection this week, and we're so thankful for that. Father, we pray for those who've lost loved ones this week. We pray especially for the families in Colorado. It's barely imaginable the grief that they're experiencing. But we pray that as your people, we'd be faithful to pray for them. Even though we don't know them, we know that you care deeply about them, so therefore we pray for them. Father, for those who this week have experienced hurts and pains and things that again, we may not know about and can't even imagine the extent of the hurt, Father, we pray that you would use us in a way that would offer peace and comfort to those who need it. And for this week as we go, as a result of our worship here, Father, we pray that our hearts would be changed so that you can use us in a way that is powerful, in a way that would give glory to you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this summer season when we can go to camp or vacation or relax. But Lord, let us also remain vigilant in your work. We know you don't take the summer off. Let us be your hands, your feet, and Lord, let us be your wallet. Bless these gifts we are about to offer and carry them where they will do the most good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In 9 o'clock service this morning and in the next couple of weeks, we answered and will continue to answer the question, why do we worship together? Why bother? Why come together? Can I worship under a tree and all those kind of things? Why do we worship together? And what is at the heart of worship? It's interesting because even within the context of this morning and there, you have things that go wrong in terms of the mechanics of what you hope to do in worship. You know, your clumsy drummer drops a drumstick, or something happens, or a wrong chord is played on the guitar, or a lyric or whatever is forgotten, and all those things. You go, can God use that? Well, sure He can, because the heart of worship is the heart. It's that part of us, call it heart, call it soul, whatever you want. It's that part of us that connects intimately with God. And much of what we do in worship is to help that to happen. And by coming together, I think we learn not only from God's Spirit that abides within us, from God's Word that we proclaim together, but also from the encouragement we offer one another. Amen? Amen. It's good to be here. As Jesus, or as the Gospels record, Jesus went to the synagogue on Sunday or on the Sabbath, as was His custom. Remember that? As was His custom. He went on the Sabbath. It's good to be here. But let me transport you for just a moment to a different setting. I want you to imagine yourself in a schoolroom, to which there's a collective shudder by those who are going back to school here in a few weeks. Imagine yourself in a schoolroom and imagine that you've been asked to write a little essay on the subject of your life's purpose. In 200 words or less, that's about one page double-spaced, we all remember that. In 200 words or less, finish this statement. I believe my life's purpose is. I believe my life's purpose is. What would you say? How would you finish that? 200 words or less, make it happen. What would you write? Well, if you're anything like me, and I pray that you're not, for your sake, if you're anything like me, I would venture to say that your essay would have to do with what you suppose that you're meant to do in the world. Perhaps you would talk about your activities, your duties done, the things that you've done well, your creations maybe, your work, because we as human beings are, it seems, by nature, workers, doers, the worker bees, if you will. See, we've been raised to it, we've been schooled in it, and some would say we're even born to it. I remember seeing a video about archaeological expeditions that unearthed what were thought to be the very first human remains, the Homo sapiens sapiens. And the narrator's voice tells us that these creatures that were found there, these people that were found there, are our forebears. And I remember sitting there saying out loud to the TV, like he's going to answer me, but saying to the TV, well, how do you know that? How do you know that? Well, it's almost like he heard my question because he went on to say, we know that because, and begins to talk about the tools that they found in close proximity to the skeletons. They had mallets there. They had all kinds of things, a club, a spear, all of these things. You see, these people were like us. They saw a job that needed to be done, and so they got it done. They made the tools they needed to get it done. They were kind of the prehistoric movers and shakers of their time. They got it done. And even the artwork that you see on those caves, some of that stuff's kind of strange looking. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen those things. Okay, and you have these figures that they're hunting and they're gathering. They're very industrious. They're getting about the work of the day. So our species, it seems from the beginning, has been a very industrious one. We enter into the world and by our acts, we change it. Now, we could have long discussions about whether those changes have all been good or whether some of them are bad, back and forth in terms of ecosystems and all that, but also in terms of progress and thinking and those type of things. There are a lot of changes that we have enacted upon the world. We are industrious and we leave our mark. We have daytimers, we have iPhones that structure and remind us of all the things that we have to do. And I think that there's an implied calculus here. I am working, therefore I am worthy. And much of history and human experience conspire, it seems, to convince us that the value of our lives is linked to our productivity. Developmental psychologists kind of add their mix, their voices to this mix too. They tell us that the years of an average, healthy, well-adjusted adult are largely devoted to work and production, whether that's outside the home or whether that's within the home, whether at work in an office or in a factory, whether we work with numbers or whether we work with widgets, you know, whether we shape cheese or whether we raise children or we arrange flowers or we write sonnets, still we are busy, we're productive, we're working, we're getting it done. We're getting it done. We're constructing life. This is normal. That's what they tell us. This is to be expected. This is the way of human life. That's what they tell us. This is how we understand ourselves and value ourselves. That's what they tell us. But yet, I'm beginning to think that this is becoming a costly way to engage life. Did you know that Americans now work an average of 160 hours more per year than we did 30 years ago? Now, I remember the 80s, and probably most of you do too. I remember the 80s when computers burst on the scene and they said, this is the answer to overworking Americans. Before long, we're going to be working 3 days a week. Do you remember that? 4 days a week if you're particularly slow. But, you know, we're going to have three-day work weeks. The computers are going to make this just a marvelous life. I remember those promises. Some of you are shaking your head. You remember those promises. But for some reason, it just didn't happen. This pattern of defining life by our work takes its toll on us. It takes its toll physically. It takes its toll emotionally. And yes, it takes its toll spiritually. So I want you to take a deep breath. That wasn't rhetorical. I really want you to take a deep breath and let it out and relax. And I want you to take a survey. I want you to kind of look back. Look back on your life so far. And yeah, I think it's okay. I think it's okay to kind of admire the notches in our belt, so to speak. Maybe the things that we've done well. It's okay to admire those for just a moment. But then I want you to go much deeper than that. I want you to go deeper in a self-survey of what have I done for the kingdom's glory. Not my own, but for the kingdom's glory. What have I done? What has life done for me, to me, through me? If life is a book to be read, what has gotten through? What have I gotten out of that book? What have I contributed? If life is a journey to be traveled, where has your path been? Where do you foresee it going? In his book, No Wonder They Call Him the Savior, Max Lucado reports that some pranksters broke into a department store in a very large city. And they stayed to accomplish their mission there, and then they left without being detected. Actually, they didn't come to steal anything. They didn't take a single thing. They came to have a little bit of fun. They spent their time in this department store switching all the price tags around. Now, obviously, this happened before the advent of UPC codes, because you can't switch those out, okay? So they switched these price tags around to where, you know, a lawnmower became $3.50 and a coffee maker became $350. And after they had switched all the price tags around, they left, undetected. The most amazing thing about the prank, though, as he writes, is the outcome on the following day's business. He reports that it took over 4 hours for anyone to notice. 4 hours of nose to the grindstone, blinders on, business as usual. No one noticed. Beep, checking along, $2.50. Yep. 4 hours.
And the summation from that, what he learned from that, his conclusion is that we suffer from the same kind of confusion in our lives. Lucado says we've messed up our values. You know, someone broke into the store and exchanged all the price tags. Thrills are going for top dollar, and the value of human life, the value of human beings is at an all-time low. And I sat there and I wanted to disagree. I was trying in my own mind to figure out a reason why I think he's wrong. But the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, I think he's probably right. What goes for top dollar in our lives? What do we spend the majority of our time and energy investing in? What really counts? Have we allowed our values to be switched and confused? Have we lost track of how valuable critical aspects of our life really are? And in fact, have we lost track of how valuable we are? Not because of anything that we make or do or achieve. That's not why. Just because we're us, just because we're God's creation, God values us. And I wonder if we really let the truth of that sink in. I want to give us an opportunity. Ephesians chapter 2 is our text for today. Ephesians chapter 2, I'll give you a minute to turn to it. It's a wonderful letter, and it gives us some great instruction in terms of how we are to be valued in God's eyes. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God, through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Hear that last verse again. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In the letter to the Ephesians, we read this astonishing claim that we are all part of God's house, whether we are productive or not, whether we are part of this group or not, whether we are all well-known to one another or relative newcomers. We're all members of the household brought together by faith in the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ our Lord. This house is built on the cornerstone of Jesus. Period. And our place in it is extraordinary. It's extraordinary in its importance, not only because of what we've achieved or not because of what we've achieved, nor because of our good works, but because we are being built into a dwelling place for God. We are the temple of God. The dwelling place for his Spirit. Does that make anybody else feel a little uncomfortable? It does me. I welcome it, but I think, am I a worthy vessel for the Spirit of God? And that's a little bit troubling, and it should be. Because the presence of the Holy Spirit is what convicts us. The presence of the Holy Spirit is what cleanses us as we confess to God our shortcomings. It's what allows us to know God in a more intimate way. I can't think of anything that we could achieve that could match that in importance. No honor more valuable, no reward that we could covet, no purpose for our lives that we could construct that would mean more to us than to be built up by God and readied to hold His Spirit. It's hard to imagine that we messed up, divided, overworked people, sometimes lost, frequently confused about our purpose, could actually be being built, even now, by God into something that extraordinary. It's so hard to imagine. Maybe it's because we're too busy to imagine. I read a few years ago a story that I had to go back and find this week. It's a story about a pastor who was advanced in his years and experience, and he was visiting family in Wisconsin. And while he was there, he decided to attend church service with his family in his tiny church there in a rural part of Wisconsin. And it so happened that on that Sunday he attended, the church had a very young visiting pastor who was there preaching as a guest. He was novice and he was very nervous. In fact, he was so nervous that he had himself literally buried in his sermon notes, head down, plowing ahead. He didn't notice the polite coughs, the gestures that they were pointing to the microphone, telling him that it wasn't working, and all they were hearing was this. He didn't notice any of that because he was forging ahead with great enthusiasm for the task, gesturing emphatically and working hard at his delivery. But they didn't hear a word he said. No one interrupted him. They didn't have the heart to interrupt him to fix the microphone. And they sat through this incredible pantomime. And when they lined up to leave the church to shake his hand and speak a kind word and go about their day, this senior minister reports that he stood behind an elderly woman of the congregation, and he overheard what she said to this young pastor, and he said he would never forget the graciousness of her remarks. While most had found the experience just amusing, this lady, what she had noticed was profound. She said, "You know, Reverend, we didn't hear a word you said, but we saw the word lived. Because your presence with us reminded us of God's presence among us." Couldn't he just hug her? What a great reminder. Look around you. That's not rhetorical. Look around you. Look at the people around you. This is an extraordinary place. It's extraordinary because it is filled with God's presence. And even now, it's building within us. It is building us up. And isn't that the most important work we could ever do? Isn't that the most important possible purpose for our lives, filled with God's presence? Shouldn't that help us overcome any differences that we may have? May God continue to build us up through his presence within us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. God, we cannot fully explain how you do it because you're the creator, we're the creation. And we get that and we're good with that. But God, we can't fully understand why you would do it either. To send your spirit to live within us. But we're so thankful that that's the way you've chosen to do it. Your spirit dwells within us to give us the peace of knowing how much you care about us. It dwells within us to correct us when we go astray. It dwells within us to give us the power and the courage to minister to others in your name. And it dwells within us to remind us to give you the glory for all that you do through us. So now we thank you. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. I invite you, if you do not know the cornerstone of our faith, if you do not know Jesus Christ personally, he desires a personal relationship with you. God gave his Son so that you could have peace and a relationship through him. And I'll be here in front. We're going to stand and sing in a moment. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have that kind of relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I have that relationship, but boy, I really haven't been living in the way that the Spirit I know has been leading me to live. This is your day. This is your day to confess that, let God strengthen you, renew you, encourage you, build you up in the Spirit. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this group, I can highly recommend it. I've been here 20 years and I highly recommend it. So if you'd like to join this body in a, quote, official capacity through church membership, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share those with you. Now, whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
Thank you.
As is our custom, I invite you, following the benediction and the response, to greet one another, encourage one another as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we ask now that your Spirit would abide in us, that we would welcome the presence of the Spirit within our lives, and that we would give you the glory for all that we accomplished this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.